Okay, I just want to make a few random notes. As we're going along, I may pause this and keep resuming as we go, but we're on Interstate 10, just left New Orleans, and on the way to Baton Rouge, and just kind of going through, we've been through some very contrasting landscapes. The city is the city, and then there's the bit between the city and the airport where there's kind of industrial estates and shopping areas, and then suddenly you're out in what feels like countryside, but is not like any countryside you see in the UK. It's a swamp, and the trees are different, the landscape is different. It was very misty there when we were just back there, and with the air conditioning on in the car, I could imagine that it was cold and misty in the way that it would be in Wales or Scotland or something, but it's definitely steamy out there. And now we've come away from the lake, and we're into, it's more kind of, it looks wooded, but it's still quite swampy. But then again, we come out and there's quite a lot of green, and there's a tree with red. I'm not sure whether it's red because it's just always red, or because it's red because it's that's its winter colouring. So that's coming out, and yeah, some strange things about, just in terms of contrast between doing this, being on the road, and being on a train. One thing that strikes me immediately is that on a train you don't see where you're going. I can see for quite a long way in front of me. I know what kind of things are coming up. If there's a change in the scenery, I can see it before it gets here. Whereas on the train, you see it as it passes you. You go through it, and all you see is what, you have a window on it. You have a window on the landscape, briefly. You may be able to see a little bit ahead, but you can't see much. So there's some weird analogy or metaphor in there. The other thing is about the scale in relation to the landscape. On a train, it feels like you are as big as the thing you're going through. Whereas in a, I don't know, at the moment I feel like I feel smaller than I would if I were on a train. Now, obviously, a car is smaller than a train. I understand that. But I don't know, I think it's also about being low down, and there's something about the positioning that is striking me as interesting anyway. Also, we don't go in a straight line all the time. Although we're on a pretty straight stretch of road now. So yeah, I'll keep dropping in. Maybe put some more onto this. I'll try and append it rather than making individual boos as we go. Right, well, we're now into, I guess we can legitimately say we're into southwestern Louisiana, past Lafayette. It is very, very flat. That's what I've just tweeted. It's very flat. It's practically Norfolk. It is, and we just lots of farmland, but it just also came past what seemed to be some sort of fish farm. I don't know what they were growing there, but it was clearly there's big pools of water that are, something's being cultivated in. I don't know what freshwater stuff they might have here. We're coming up to exit 82. I'm still trying to work out on the map how that's denoted. I can see a 64, and I can see 103. So I guess we're somewhere Crowley. Yeah, Crowley. So I see where we are. Basically, it's for this stretch of the journey, we're never more than about 30, 40, 50 miles from the sea. I see. No, I thought that was a bull. It's not a bull. It's a big lump of rubbish. But then again, you see, there's some sort of, I don't know what that is. Horses. There, that was a nice little random ramble for you. I'll check in again, probably before we get into Texas. But we've got, I guess, the scale of this map is about an inch to 30 miles. So, 1, 2, 3. We're about 100 miles from the border into Texas. Check in later. Well, we're quite a bit further on. We just crossed into Texas and stopped, took some photographs. That's actually, thinking about it, it's the first time that I've consciously crossed a state line in the whole trip. I haven't been aware. I've been travelling city to city and on the train, and there's not a great deal to tell you, and they certainly don't make announcements to tell you that you're crossing a state line. So although, and I really need to work out at some point how many states we've travelled through, but although I've travelled from Massachusetts down the eastern seaboard, across into Georgia and down to Louisiana, not before ever really paid any attention to it, but now, especially since it's the final destination, it's really quite exciting to be in Texas at last after 9 days on the road of Tuttle to Texas, and of course all the thinking and planning. Well, we didn't do much planning, but thinking about it beforehand has been leading up to where we are now. I have to say that in terms of landscape, I'm not that aware of a dramatic difference between eastern Texas and western Louisiana. I'm sure Texans who are listening to this will be able to point it out to me. Yeah, it's good. But getting out of the car, I realised how hot it is. It's I don't know. I don't have a good way of estimating that, except that I was touching metal signs and they were hot, and it's really beating down. I'm remembering that I need to get some sunglasses and probably a hat for this part of the trip. So yeah, I think we're gonna see if we can. It's 2 p.m. now, just 2:10. So we're gonna try and find some food and have a bit of a rest and stop, so that Taylor can stop testing the rumble strips. And we're doing well. We're doing good. It's good to be in Texas. Do I say anything?
Rumble strips serve a very important purpose.
Yeah.
I don't like testing very often, but they've definitely made a big difference in my life. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. We'll check back in probably after we've had some lunch. Oh, well, we're in Beaumont, Texas, and I just ate lots of stuff that I probably shouldn't have.
Boudin.
Catfish.
Fried shrimp. You have a salad. Gumbo?
Salad. I had some gumbo with sausage.
But you skipped the cobbler. You skipped the peach cobbler. God.
I was irrationally fussy about not eating the peach cobbler because it had sugar and wheat in it, whereas I have no doubt eaten plenty of sugar and wheat in the rest of the meal. but I'm feeling good, feeling full and ready to go. And there's some crazy, what was that? Bird. We're getting exotic now. We've still got a good way to go. It's another 4 hours probably to Austin. From here, we're just over the state line into Texas. But yes, just for the record, we dined at Van Choate's Catfish Kitchen.
Ain't you wishing?
Established 1968.
Barbecue crabs and more. We did not have the barbecue crabs though.
No, not this time. Next time. Well, not sure what to say really. But I thought I'd better check in because it's been a couple of hours. It's 5:45 now in the evening. We're driving into the sun. We've just come out the right side of Houston. We hit Houston at about 5:00, which was not the best timing, but you know, it was what it was. It was not nearly as bad as it could have been. We got stuck for a little while where there were some roadworks, but certainly we haven't really been standing still for very long at all, which is better than being on the M25 at this time of night. And so, yeah, we're coming out the other side of Houston. The road's starting to free up. And we've got, I guess, about 60 miles or so until we come off the interstate and turn up onto whatever it is, 71 or something, up to Austin. But it's still a lovely, clear day. It's probably quite warm out there. But it's cool and chilled inside, and yeah, I think I don't think it's a stretch to say that I'm sure Taylor would like to be in Austin by now too. I know we'll be there. We'll get there when we get there. I think this is going to be the last chapter of this one. It's 7:45. It's dark. we're still on a very straight, long road, but we're about 20 to 25 miles outside of Austin. So we're nearly there. I still can't quite get my head around being here again. I don't think I will until we're actually driving through downtown Austin. But I can see the lights of it in the distance, I think. Either that or something. I don't think there's anything else that big. So nearly there, nearly the end of a long, long journey. Well, a super long journey from Boston. Pretty long journey today from New Orleans. It seems a long time since we left Brian outside the Cake Cafe. I have enormous admiration for Taylor, who's just kept his foot on the pedal and his eye on the road. We're going to go in, and I've just spoken to people in Austin, and apparently there's a drink up in the Radisson where there's lots of British people, so I'm going to go and meet some British people who are all no doubt pretty jet lagged. So it's going to be a bit odd. It's going to be a bit odd talking to new, seeing a bunch of people that I know quite well. It's a bit like going home, but I'm not going to be going home. I'm very glad that it turned out this way, that we did a... I've had an experience of classic American road trip, but just a slice of it. I don't think I could do many days like this. It's the relentlessness of the road, straight.
That's just where we are.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not always like that.
Well,
out west is not like
that. Taylor's telling me it's not like this everywhere. we'll see. We'll see. Maybe if I ever learn to drive, it might feel a bit different. So yeah, that's it. We're in Texas. We're in Austin, nearly. And tomorrow, it's the madness that is South by Southwest. So I'm going to sign off here. That's probably given you 16, 17 minutes of a fairly strange day. But I think you can probably tell I'm tired and I've got nothing else to say. So that was, what was that, Thursday the 11th of March, 2010. Memorable day.